A podcast that shines a light on the positive, healthy, hopeful projects going on in Humboldt County. We'll talk about things that are happening to help everyone live a better life and what things you can do in your corner of the world. Look, we know about the problems. We talk about them, read about them in the news, and see it every day too. That's what drives us to want better and to be part of the good. My name is Juliette Ferry, and I will be your host of the Humboldt Healthcast, which is another community project of the Humboldt IPA here in Eureka.
Hello, podcast listeners. I will be giving you the introduction today before our podcast and interview with Sunny Tripp and Juliette, our podcast host. My name is Vanessa Verdiak, and I'm the coordinator of the School-Based Health Center at McKinleyville Middle School. The School-Based Health Center is a project that was developed by the Humboldt IPA in 2018. It was created to support students and now McKinleyville Union School District staff with providing convenient access to health and wellness services right on campus. Not only do we offer services like simple wound repair, acute illness assessment, health education, and referrals to community services, but we also work with families to offer in-depth care coordination. We meet families where they are, and our team is incredibly strengths-based. We explore goals that are driven by the student and their family. And this is how the Boys to Men Beyond Bullies group was developed. Students in Coach Tripp's academic support class expressed interest in a male-identified empowerment group led by community mentors. Sunny and I worked together to develop the group content and create group parameters. Sunny was tasked with recruiting the students, and I recruited the mentors. I was raised in Humboldt and have had the honor of working for several community agencies where I formed partnerships with some diverse individuals. I already had a list of men that I knew that influenced my life with their propensity towards resiliency. Our first group had 20 students. Sunny and I were so pleased with the commitment that we had. We had students giving up their lunch hour to sit with their peers and discuss their feelings and hear stories from community mentors. These stories were honest and heartfelt. They explore what each of them wished they would have known when they were in middle school. We continued these groups each week, and each week it grew and grew. I also want to add for our listeners that I lead a girls group on campus. There's also an LGBTQ club, a yoga club, and many more groups. But our Boys to Men Beyond Bullies group is the most popular by far. This coming fall, we'll be offering the group virtually or in person, depending on the approach the school decides to take. We will also be expanding our group to McKinleyville High and Eureka's Court and Community School. The exciting thing about this is that our 8th grade class from McKinleyville Middle School will have a continuation of support and a focused effort on the students that are transitioning into manhood. The Court and Community School is also ideal for this group because of the student population. Students come to the community school from referrals from the Department of Probation, school attendance review boards, and school districts. Homeless students may also be served in this setting. Our goal is to provide the McKinleyville Middle School with Boys to Men Beyond Bullies weekly meetings, since that's where the Student Health Center is located, and the Court and Community School and McKinleyville High School bi-weekly meetings. You'll be now tuning in to an interview with Coach Tripp and Juliette as they explore the Boys to Men Beyond Bullies group, its meaning, and Native American history in our community and beyond. If you'd like more information on our boys group and the Student Health Center, feel free to follow the Priority Care Center at McKinleyville Middle School on our Instagram page or visit our website at thehumboldtipa.com.
I'm here today with Coach Tripp, and he's most familiar to the Humboldt IPA and the Priority Care Center as leading and being an integral role in the Boys to Men group, the health center at the McKinleyville Middle School. So thank you so much, Sonny, for joining us.
Heck yeah, thank you for having me here.
And so today we just had a really lengthy conversation before the interview started, which was wonderful. So I thank you for that. And yeah. I wonder if we could just start out with you just telling me a little bit about yourself and how you found your way to the boys group.
Well, thanks again. And I enjoyed our conversation prior to this too. This is my first year as an Indian Ed advisor on the McKinleyville Middle School. I work for the high school, and we've expanded our reach out to the junior high to include some of our feeder schools. So we're able to put a presence of Indian education on the McKinleyville campus, and that's how I got to meet Vanessa, and that's how we got to start Boys to Men. She approached me, and I thought it was a great idea and jumped on board real quick, and turned out to be a huge success and a lot of fun doing it.
That's awesome. And when she had first told us about the way that she had started, I think is that she said, we're starting a girls group, and had asked, I'm one of the wellness coaches at the Priority Care Center, if me and the other wellness coach would come in and, you know, maybe have a guest speaking spot. And so we're like, sure. And I was like, girls group, that's great. Like, that's wonderful. And then she said, we're also having a boys group. And I was like, that's what we need, is like this second. You don't typically hear about boys groups. No. You just hear about girls groups and camps for girls. And I've said it so many times that we do our boys and men in this country a severe injustice by not really just kind of figuring that they're going to figure it out. Like, boys, they're tough. Like, they'll just figure it out. Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, I agree. It's a struggle for boys. There's no rites of passage really anymore. And some of the passages aren't truly like healthy either. I think that it's been a wonderful program. First of all, I didn't know how many boys were interested in becoming young men, I guess, and the responsibility of that. The nice things that we've had, we've been able to discuss their role in society and how we treat each other, and we're trying to change some of that, and also how we traditionally, and like for us Native, how we traditionally treated women, but in general how men should treat women and in a proper way. And I mean, and those aren't talked about in classroom settings, so it's really nice to be a part of. And the huge one was also even self-defense. It seems like our boys were all over that. We had like 50, 60 kids into that Boys to Men group. So, and I see a lot of our men struggling, our young men, like with their identity of what it means to be a man in a lot of ways, you know. And
right. It's like one thing is portrayed, you know, a single message is portrayed, like, for women and men, and it's mostly white women and men is like what's portrayed. So it's like, you've got to look like this, like you've got to have this lean for a man, like a sleek, even for women, a sleek, muscular, low fat body, like, you know, again, just white is primarily portrayed. And so it's like, if you're handling your problems, then you can fight your way through them, or you want to talk about your problems, then you better get drunk first, you know. That's the only way it's acceptable.
Yeah. So for one of the things too that I realized in my life as a man is that you know, that whole it's not okay to cry or to show your emotions.
Sure.
You know, I found out in my older time, and yeah, I was raised kind of in that way too, but I found out in my older times that traditionally we had it was okay for us to cry for all kinds of reasons. Cry for pride, you can cry for sadness, cry for joy. You know, tears are healing as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, to break some of those barriers down, that one specifically, you know, is nice. Yeah. Nice to see, you know, because it's okay. It's okay to show your emotions in a healthy way, and you know, really, that's the way to be healthy in the long run.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That, and you're saying, like, traditionally, like, Native people, like, what?
Kanooks, Kurooks, upriver Indians.
Got it.
Like, and Yuroks, I guess Klamath River, you know, knowledge or whatever. But, I mean, even us, we're still taught like that, you know. Our history is a little different, and we have our own struggles and everything.
Sure. What would you say is, like, something that you are, and maybe you've already talked about this, but, or touched on it, is, like, the thing that you're most proud of regarding that boys group? What, a specific moment, or?
I think what I'm most, like, happy about it is that I was able to grab a diverse group of boys, and not just the cool kids or the athletic kids or the bookwormish, the genius kids, you know, and it grabbed had a big pool of each kind of little pocket of kids or boys, and our speakers were real, and were able to break some of those defensive barriers down, and we had some good conversations. Even in a short period, even an hour, you know, about treating each other in good ways and just walking in a good way. And knowing that it's okay to ask for help, you know, I think that happened a lot of times too. So, you know, for me, it's a beautiful thing to see our young men be successful in life, especially the ones that have to overcome so many obstacles.
Sure.
So and to walk in a good way. You know, to try to create our community men who our community can count on, you know, in whatever situation. So that's kind of like, not selfish people or, you know, but people who can take care of others and take care of themselves and take care of their families and, you know, be healthy about that way too.
Yeah, and looking out for others. And when you see something, if someone in your group or your area is saying something offensive or doing something offensive, that it's like you have that courage to speak up and say, like, that's not okay. Like, that's not cool. Like,
yeah.
You know, someone's alone in the crowd. It's just like, you know, off on their own. It's like, do you need help? Like, you know, not feeling like you're going to be ostracized. So it's like, I like that. It's a beautiful phrase, walk in a good way. It's walking tall, having confidence in yourself. And it's honestly like that. You're standing up tall. You're looking around. It's like, I'm good. I'm taking care of myself. And like, who else now can I help in a way?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. What would you say, I guess, just drives you, your driving force, something that made you want to be a part of this group?
Well, I kind of lucked into this group. But my driving force is to do my part, helping Indian kids and kids in general. And so, like, my degrees in, I have a master's in education, a BA in Native American Studies, and a minor in Indian Education. I went to school to help Indian people or my, you know, do my part or whatever. But I find it, my part is a lot more than just working with Indian kids. I mean, that's what drives me. And it's, sometimes it's hard because it's not financially rewarding, really. And sometimes I have to question myself,
right.
You know,
right.
But,
you're helping these kids, but it's like, you're not it's like, you know, helping people is awesome. And
yeah.
That we need for bills and, you
exactly.
know, food and a house and stuff.
So that's a balance, but I'm in
what brings you back. Like when you have that feeling, because that's similar in healthcare. It's just like the roles, you know, social work and therapy. It's like, you know, so many positions you you're doing the thing that you love.
Yeah, so
and
many
there's just not the compensation for it. And we live in a super expensive area, you know,
yeah.
The beauty of it makes up for it. But really it's just facts of life. And so what brings you back? Like when you have those questions of like, what am I doing? What's the answer? What's the point of it for you?
What brings me back is knowing my role and accepting it and shining in it or whatever, but also the appreciation that sometimes parents give. Or I got a text this year that made it all worth it, you know, said that I helped her son, and if I wasn't there, he wouldn't have made it this year. And for me to get something like that, it's the best text I've ever got, actually. So it was pretty rewarding.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's like, it like chokes you up. It like
yeah,
makes you, you know, cause I can imagine you're just on your day, you know, at the grocery store or something, you get a text and then it's just this very profound, like,
yeah, it was powerful. And it was unexpected and, you know, but, it was nice, you know, and it's kind of rare for parents to reach out that way too, you know, so it was cool.
Yeah, nice to have the recognition. Just, it's like an honor to be that help, that amount of help to somebody else, and that you're always going to live on. You're passing on these beautiful lessons to your kids, and then it's like now these other kids are also your family, and
yeah,
you're always gonna live in that person's memory.
That's been like, that's a bonus too, is being able to be a part of all these kids' lives that they give so much back. They don't even know it, you know.
Yeah.
It makes, you know, it's nice.
Yeah, it's like continually teaching you, like you're the teacher.
Yeah,
and learning a lot from these young people.
That's definitely true. I'm a collective knowledge guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a teach down type of guy.
Right. Like, just, you know, figure it out. Like, in my role as wellness coaching, when people are ready to make a lifestyle change, like eating healthier and moving more and managing stress and sleep, that sort of thing. And the thing I always say is that, like, yeah, I know a handful of things about healthy living, but that, I don't know how those things fit into your life. Like, you need to teach me what this present situation is, and then we can figure out what's going to work. Like, I don't know what's going to work in your life. I know what worked for me. Like, that doesn't mean that I know anything else is going to fit in for you. And so it's really that very even, like, we're on the same team.
Yeah.
You're the leader
of
the team.
Exactly.
That's the only way it can go for our lives, is that we're the leader of our life.
Yeah. And that's what I try to instill in our kids. You know, we got a little bit of time before they make it to high school and when it really starts counting, but this junior high is the foundation where they're learning all their basics for their English and their math and their of going to school on time and being there every day. And, you know, and then in the high school for ninth graders, a lot of times it's sink or swim, you know, and that's when we lose a lot of our Indian kids is during ninth grade. So I'm trying to, you know, exactly right. You're the own captain of your own ship, kind of, and it's all comes down, no matter what, it all comes down to the individual. Even for our kids that have bad home living, you know, they got to survive it for however long. But then when it comes down to it, 18 years old or 17 or 16, when they, you know, you're the one that nobody else is going to. You got to make your own way.
Right.
You know?
And those things are all real things, foundational, you know, trauma, generational trauma, all those things set the stage. And it's still like, and this is still, you know, this is still your life, and trying to figure it out. That's got to be terrifying for you to be working with these younger kids. And then to know that ninth grade is really when you're losing a lot of kids, that's really has to be very, as I said, terrifying to just kind of be like, oh man, like who is it going to be? That's, you know.
Yeah, that's good. It is scary, terrifying to, you know, but we've been trying to, like, the group that I work for, I got hired in a this grant called Wild Rivers Grant. So they hired like three native counselors but it's also in Eureka and Del Norte and Hoopaw, and they help put more Indian support system in there for all the kids. So we've known that, like I've known that for a long time. Fourth grade too is when our kids of color start to lose some of the purpose of school, or sure. maybe just some of the, you know, for us Indian kids, we have to build missions. California missions have murdered our people, and you know, we're supposed to put this in a good way, and reality is
right,
you know. So
what, you know, is there's the word that you're saying, missions,
the mission system,
got it,
the Catholic
okay.
mission
okay.
system.
Yes,
yeah, my
got
bad
it. No, it's okay.
You know, they were genocide.
Yeah.
They tried to destroy our people and enslaved them, and then to have our kids build those,
yeah,
you know. So,
and so, because what I know is, like, you know, the missions came in, it's like changing everything. Like, in addition to the genocide and murder and enslaving, it was like you have to change everything about, you can't speak your language, you can't eat this food. Like, and then you're saying that like to build them.
They built them as well.
They
built them. Yeah, they enslaved the indigenous peoples of the areas and malnutritioned them and ended up building their mission system.
Okay.
From up and down all the way to San Francisco, basically, to the Presidio. So the Spaniards had a lot of that all the way up, and here in California, we've face some of the most grotesque genocide in all of the United States.
Right.
All for gold, all for the greed.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So anyway.
Yeah, and that's gotta be really difficult to be like for just every step along the way. You're saying like fourth grade, and it's like perhaps that's the age where kids just start to pick up on like the realities of life. Like, what is the point of all this? Like, you look at your parents, like you're looking at reality, you're looking around, and it's just like, what am I doing all this for? And then again, in high school or heading into high school, it's like, why? Why am I learning
my
any of
this? My daughter's going through that right now.
Right. Right.
She's like, what for? What am I doing?
And how,
like,
do you even answer that?
I'm having a hard time. You
because
know?
You're like, I know, baby.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, that is just sickening to just, like, to know. It's like, what keeps you going? What does keep you going?
Love, the little things in life, simple pleasures, like sitting right here in the sun right now, still being alive.
Yeah.
I mean, that, like, literally, I love the little things in life. You know, I love sunset. You know, it's just everything. Butterfly, you know, if I can get into that moment or whatever, you know, that's what, just enjoying the rest of my time that I have here, you know, because I'm most of my friends are dead. So, and like, I always tease like myself that I'm like 102 because I put like before Europeans arrived, we did live into the hundreds on a regular. And then when they come, you know, now our Indian men and women, you know, have like supposedly a life expectancy in the 40s, you know. So I'm like, I'm on bonus time, you know. So all my engine bros are dead, you know, and they were, one who has a PhD, you know, 1 year back on the res. Love that guy. I love them both. They were ceremonial brothers, Sundance brothers. But anyway. Ceremony keeps me going.
Yeah.
Like, that's what recharges my batteries.
Sure.
You know, around here it's jump dance, brush dance. Our brush dance is our local ceremony. A healing ceremony, usually for a sick baby, where all three tribes come together and dance Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Friday's a rest day. It's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
The music, the sounds of this area is awesome.
Yeah, tradition and, as you're saying, ceremony and, like, teaching.
Well, we still have it, which is just, like, blows me away.
Yeah.
You know, we still know our boundaries, we still know our villages, we still know our language.
Yeah.
And It was, I mean, they tried to kill us, wipe us up.
Right. Like all the conversations now that I'm hopeful will continue with Black Lives Matter. And it's just, you know what I mean? It's like this country is a stolen land that enslaved people built. And it's just hard to really kind of, it's really kind of hard to get on that, honestly, you know?
Well, that's one of my things. I can't wait till we teach that
reality.
Yeah, the real history, not the feel-good history, you know, because our Indian kids are at the expense of the feel-good history, you know.
Right. I was never taught, you know, in grade school. I think it's pretty common. It's like
you're never taught,
like, the real, you know, you're taught, like, there was slaves. Like, it was a really dark time in history, but you're not really taught, like, it was an enslaved people. Like, those people were stolen from their country. People that were just,
and
like,
owned.
Yeah. People that were just, like, living their lives. And now it's like, now you have to get on this boat and do this. And then it's just the same concept of, like, you know.
Well, we were indentured. So even after after slavery was ended, they still had indentured servants here in northern Humboldt County, Humboldt and Delaware County. They'd kill the Indian parents and send the kids to San Francisco to work as indentured servants. This is in the 1880s, you know. Had to work into the 1900s as slaves, but they renamed it to indentured servant.
Yeah, all the euphemisms just sound. It just neutralizes it. Like, it's not as bad when you say it in a certain way.
And people don't acknowledge it either.
Yeah. Right. And learn, you're right. Step one is like, I mean, there's lots of step ones, but like another step one is like, can we at least teach or talk about the actual past? So, because it's really ugly and uncomfortable, but there's no way that we're going to get to anywhere unless we at least start talking about it.
That's why we're at, you know, things have boiled.
Hopefully this time, I just feel like this time is different because everybody's just, it's like, look at COVID, like,
black and white and brown all together.
Yeah,
you know?
Right, exactly. I feel like this is, everyone's just had enough.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know exactly what the point is here, like why this is different than another time. I think the pandemic, I honestly think that's the potential silver lining of the pandemic, is like everybody, it's exposing so much ugliness. Like, it's exposing, you know, the reason that COVID is affecting black and brown people of color the most, it's because of poverty and racism for generations, and they just don't have the things needed to overcome this. That's the type of job you get. You have to work.
Or the location that you live in, your house is in.
It's right on top of each other.
Yeah, it's right next to the factory that's spewing all that unhealthy shit.
Yeah, so your system's already depleted, you're already stressed out, you're working jobs like, you know, care home or nursing home, it's like cleaner, it's like that's the job that's available to you, and so it's like it's exposing all these weak links, like broken links in the chain, and so it's like you can't just put a band-aid on that, like you gotta dig down into the festering wound and just see it, and like, you know, if you ever had a really bad cut, it's like, oh, that is awful. It stinks. Like, it hurts. And it's like, you can't just wash that out with soap and water. Like, you got to take a look at that and really examine it for a minute to figure out what next step is.
Yeah, that's a good call. We do have to, and we have to acknowledge it. That's the first step, I think, is acknowledging a lot of that.
Yeah.
I think we're doing it, though. I'm excited. I feel like I'm blessed to be living in this time because I've been here for 50 years, you know. So I've seen a lot of racist things happen to all people, to a lot of poor people too, poor people, white poor people, you know, same thing happens to them. But I haven't seen us this united in this way, and what reminds me of is that saying about, like, that somebody came, that during the Hitler saying, you know, I didn't stand up for him, and I didn't stand up for him, and then when they came for me, nobody was left.
In your opinion, what can one person do in there to change their corner of the world, to make their corner of the world better?
I think one person can do everything. I think one person has changed the world over and over and over and over again. I think one person, it could be the catalyst. I think one person can be the lightning rod. I think, you know, it might just take one person to be that tipping point.
Yeah.
You know, I think when I think about that, I think about, I was at this conference or whatever, and they passed out these little notebooks it was about change, you know, making change or whatever in the long run, you know. It was about this girl that was picking up all these starfish or something on the beach, and there are thousands of them. And this person's all, "What are you doing that for? That's not going to change anything." And she said, "Well, it just changed that one's life."
Yeah.
I was like,
I love that story.
Yeah.
I love that story. And like you're saying, it's like, I think of that in my role when people meet with me and they end up making healthy change. Like just the other day, a woman told me, you know, "I lost 30 pounds since February. I'm exercising more. I'm eating healthier." And she's like, "And I just wanted to let you know because you were a big part of that, like, beginning." And so it's something I've done. I don't exercise for this person. Like, I didn't cut out, like, I'm not making them food. You know what I mean? This is just a conversation that we've had. They're the one walking the walk. And the fact that she even, like, shared that with me, like, gave me any credit, like, you know, not like I deserve any credit for it, but I understand what she's saying. It was just, like, someone who listened, someone that came to her with a non-judgmental approach, and that she's sharing that with me. And it's like, you know, I can't change the world, but I can change me. I can impact my daughter. And it's, like, one person at a time. That's a huge impact in that person's life. And that, you're right. Like, I'm a strong believer that it's like, you might feel like, "I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm just one person." But like you're saying, that's all it's ever taken. It's just one person and their support.
Yeah. I mean, it can seem overwhelming at times, but you know, and you got to take those little successes and enjoy them.
Yeah. And don't let the knocks knock you down all the way.
It's like a marathon.
Yeah. Take the knocks. Like, you don't have to bounce up and be like, "Everything's great. Everything's great." It's just like, no, feel it. Like, feel the hurt. Yes. Feel
take
the grief. Feel the pain. And then you come back and then you remember, like, "Oh, this is the point. Like, this is why I'm doing all this. Like, I get it. I remember." What would you say your wish is for our area that we're living in?
I thought about this question. And I've been fortunate enough to live up and down this whole West Coast, Santa Barbara in Southern California, Redding here, Del Norte, Oregon, and Seattle, and all different times of my life. And I love Humboldt County. I just, like, I don't know, like, there's, sure, there's little things to change, but even when I reflect back on it, like, Arcata had that first green party as a city council. Blue Lakes had all women city council, or, you know, it's like, dude, we're doing things right here, you know? So, and the people here take time to say hi. You know, people are real here.
All right. Well, thanks, Eddie. I appreciate your time. It was so great meeting you and talking more with you. I really appreciate this conversation.
Me too. I enjoyed it.
Great. Yeah, take care.
You too.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm back with Vanessa Verdiak, who is the coordinator of the school-based health center based out of McKinleyville Middle School. And she's going to share a few things that our listeners can do to support the Boys to Men Beyond Bullies group and a few other resources. Hi, Vanessa.
Hey, Julia. Thank you for closing this interview with me. I'm excited to share with our listeners just some things that people can do in the community to support this awesome project. So the first thing that we're launching is something called a Legacy Library. And what we've done is we've had mentors choose their favorite books or books that touched their hearts when they were young boys and help shape them into the men they are today. They've put together a list of recommendations of books. And now we are trying to gather these books for our various sites where the Boys to Men groups are being held. So there's three sites, McKinleyville High, McKinleyville Middle School, and the Court and Community School in Eureka. So this list has been put together, and we're asking our listeners or anyone who feels inclined to give a call to Blake's Books in McKinleyville. And they have the list of books that we're requesting if anybody would like to donate a book to this project.
That's wonderful. And then just supporting a local business, and they already have the list, so you don't need to get the list. It's just a great idea to already have that there.
Yeah, and the list is, it's amazing. It's very diverse. We've got like The Art of War on there, and Old Man and the Sea, and Four Agreements, and 50 Cent's Biography, and Poems by Tupac. It's really beautiful, diverse list. And I think the project is so important because I think books help build pride and self-esteem in young boys, especially when books are chosen for kids. It's like our boys continue to feel that sense of value and knowing that they matter. So that's one thing for sure that our listeners can do. Another thing would be to, if you're interested in being a mentor or volunteering, you can reach out to the Humboldt IPA. We do have a volunteer application. We are looking for more help in the fall to help reach these sites and support more boys in our community. And the last
Who would you say, Vanessa, would make a good volunteer for this group?
I would say that anybody who has lived experience, feels comfortable connecting with youth, speaking in public, sharing their story. Lived experience is not necessary. Our mentors are from incredibly diverse backgrounds. We have police officers to fitness instructors to substance abuse counselors. So it's definitely not about someone's career choice, but more just about what they feel inclined to speak about.
Great. And then the last thing was the Instagram.
Yeah, so the last thing that folks can do, super simple, but definitely helps support us, is follow our PCC, School-Based Health Centers, on Instagram. And that's a new page that we made. It's in particular, it's for students. So they can see all the different cool things that are happening on campus. But we'd love to have the support of our community following us and sharing our posts.
That's great. Well, thanks, Vanessa, and thanks for those resources. I think once people hear something inspiring, or unfortunately on the flip side, maybe it's not inspiring, it kind of pulls at heartstrings. It's like, I need to get involved. Like, what can I do? And so that's part of this podcast, is letting people know what they can do. So thank you for that. And thanks for being part of the School-Based Health Center. You're such a wonderful person and such an awesome resource. And the school is happy, or lucky to have you, I should say.
Thanks, Julia. And I just want to say that I'm so grateful that we're able to offer this group and help young boys feel secure in their masculinity, develop a sense of closeness with each other, with good mentors, and teaching them to learn to take off their mask, show their emotions, and find themselves. So I'm incredibly grateful to be able to promote this project through the Humboldt HealthCast.
Great. Well, thanks, Vanessa, and we will be talking to you again, I'm sure, in future episodes.
The Priority Care Center is located on Harrison Ave in Eureka, and we provide primary care, mental health counseling, care coordination, wellness coaching to people with the following insurance types: Anthem PPO, Blue Shield HMO, Anthem Blue Cross HMO, and Blue Lake Rancheria. Thank you for listening to Humboldt HealthCast, brought to you ad-free by the Humboldt Independent Practice Association. Our host is me, Juliet Ferry. Our editor is Joseph Burkett. Original music created by Justin Locke. Our producers are Irina Essez, Jessica Osborne Staffness, Mary Nickel, Patty Torres, and Vanessa Verdiak. Special thanks to Rosemary Denouten for making this project possible. Please share, subscribe, rate, and comment. We are always looking to improve and welcome your feedback. Be part of the good, Humboldt.